And now your speaker, Morgan Medlin.
I believe that one thing is true of each of us, that we seek the ideal or the model. But regardless of how hard we seek, or regardless of how much we do, it seems that the ideal or the model is somewhat that elusive dream. It seems that the closer we think we get, the farther we find we are. And this is partly true because the higher we climb, the greater the view. In the valley, we may think that we can see a long distance and all that there is to see. But the higher one climbs the mountain, the greater the view. And I believe so it is with life. I want us to note together today the model assembly. It was composed of neither Jews or Christians. And this model assembly, even though it wasn't a church assembly as such, I believe it is a model for the church today. There are points that are of benefit to us. We heard read earlier from Acts 10, verse 33 through 35. In the words of Cornelius the centurion, "Immediately therefore I sent to you, and you are well done that you're come. Now therefore we're all gathered before God to hear all things that are commanded you of God." Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted of him." Cornelius had sent to Joppa for the Apostle Peter. And Peter had immediately come, and Cornelius says that we're all here gathered before God to hear all things that are commanded of God. Now an angel did not tell the redemptive story. No one can tell the story as one redeemed. And so Peter was sent to the house of Cornelius to reveal unto him God's message and God's truth. It was a conservative Jew and a liberal Gentile. The Jews wanted to keep things as they were. They were content to preach to their countrymen, and you remember, as one reads earlier, that it really took a miracle to convince Peter that he should go and preach the gospel to this man who was a Gentile. What about this assembly, though, that has caused God to permit it to live in His Word? I believe that basically there are three things about it that God has permitted it to live and to bless the lives and hearts of all of those who read and study it in this model assembly. First of all, there is the assembly. Secondly, the inquisitive hearts. And then thirdly, lastly, the results that came from it. But first of all, let's notice the assembly. There was earnestness about it. In Acts 10, verse 2, it was composed of, we've mentioned already, Cornelius and his house. And that verse says that Cornelius was a devout man that feared God with all of his house, gave much alms to the poor, and prayed to God always. I don't know where one could go in Scripture and find a more upstanding man than this man Cornelius. A man that is called a devout man. One that feared God with all of his house. Now that's quite a commendation. If a man is successful in reaching all of his house, he's been rather successful. You know that Noah preached for many, many years and built that ark. And yet in all of that work, in all of that effort, all of that energy, 8 souls were saved who went inside that ark. Noah, his wife, his 3 sons, and their wives. And yet Noah was successful from the standpoint that even though I'm sure he wanted multitudes of other people to listen to the warning and to realize that God was sending the flood, yet the fact that he was able to influence his own family was tremendously great. Cornelius influenced his family for good. A devout man, feared God with all of his house. One that was a generous person. He gave much alms. He was a very generous man. And prayed to God always. A lot of people would probably think, well, a man like this, why would Peter spend the effort and the energy to go and speak to one who was so devout and so religious? Why not concentrate upon those that are far less of a spiritual nature than Cornelius? But of course, God was concerned about Cornelius hearing the gospel, about men realizing that the gospel was for all. It was for the Jew as well as the Gentile, the Greek, it was for all men. Cornelius then, even though he had all of these qualities we mentioned, he had a felt need, a noble birth, a good job, a great occupation, popular. And so many, many things were significant and great about this man, but he was insufficient because he felt the need of the soul. That is, there was something missing. There was something he had not yet reached. He had not yet attained. Notice then the punctuality of those in attendance. In Acts 10:33, we are all here present before God. Everybody. I don't know how many were in the house that day of Cornelius. The number is not specifically given, but at least they were all present, no absentees. All were present in the proper time. The unusual thing is that they were waiting on Peter, the preacher, the apostle, rather than the opposite, because there was a sense of importance of that service. Sometimes Congress cannot hold session, or other groups cannot hold session because they do not have a quorum present. There are not enough present to conduct business. I'm glad that the church doesn't have to have a quorum present often also. Because probably we in the church might be like some of those if it were necessary to have an X number of people present in order to worship, then this might not always be possible. And I'm glad the Lord said in Matthew 18:20, where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them also. that the Lord said, the smallest plural possible, two or three, are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them also. Now the Lord wasn't simply emphasizing smallness, because certainly the Lord is happy and thrilled when multitudes of people gather in His name to worship Him. But He doesn't require multitudes in order to grace that assembly with His presence. But all of these were present to hear the word of the Lord. The reasons they were present is that the Lord called for it. Assemblies honor Christ. In Hebrews 10:25, forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now the Lord is interested in all of His people gathering to worship Him. That would be a model today for the church. In this assembly in Cornelius' house, we are all present before God. I would to God that it could be said of any assembly, any worship assembly, that we're all present. Every person accounted for. But of course, if this were required, then the chances are quite good that we'd never be able to hold an assembly. Now that's the idea. And that's as it would be wonderful for it to be. But due to indifference, due to some problems beyond one's control, there cannot always be all of those present. And these people were present for a definite purpose. We're all here present before God to hear all things commanded you of God. These people were gathered at the house of Cornelius because they had a definite purpose in mind. Now, they were not gathered in order to be critical. They were not gathered out of habit. They had not come together out of curiosity, but rather they were there for a definite purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 7, concerning John, "What did you go out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? Or did you go out to see a man in soft raiment?" Those who are in soft raiment are in king's houses. "Did you go out to see a prophet? Yea, more than a prophet." Our Lord asked three questions of those people concerning John. When you went out to hear John, He said, did you go to see someone that was like a reed shaken in the wind? Person that could not stand staunchly for anything. Someone said that a person who doesn't stand for something will fall for anything. Now John wasn't like a reed blowing in the wind, speaking this way today and some other way tomorrow. He was one that stood firm and staunch in proclaiming God's message. And then he wasn't dressed the way some folks thought he ought to be. In soft raiment, that wasn't his garb. And so some, because he didn't look like some prince in his dress, rejected him because of that. Others, were you looking for a prophet? Now Jesus is saying that those people found what they were looking for. And you know that's true with all of us. We find what we're looking for in things and in people. What did you go out to see? Because whatever you went out to see, then that's what you saw. Because you see, it was your attitude that determined. And so it is with us. We find what we're looking for. We see in things and people what we are searching for. Now, if we're looking for the bad, we're going to find that. If we're looking for the good, then we're going to find this. It depends upon us. And our Lord is simply saying that attitudes. What did you go out to see? They were concerned at the house of Cornelius to hear God's word. They were there gathered before God. It was a time of reverence. The psalmist said in Psalm 89, verse 7, "Greatly to be feared is the Lord in the assembly of His saints." Greatly is the Lord to be feared. Not that we cower down with terror, but whenever we come into an assembly, we come with the reverent attitude that God is all-wise, all-powerful, all-loving, all-merciful. We come with a degree of reverence, a reverential fear in the presence of the Lord. When Emperor Constantine was announced to preach, thousands of people flocked to the palace. He renounced the folly of paganism. It was observed that even though thousands attended, the people did not mend their ways. A few days ago, when the celebrities, Prince Charles and Diana, Princess of Wales, were in the States, and they worshipped at the National Cathedral in Washington on that Sunday, there were literally thousands upon thousands of people that came. Now, I understand that they gave passes to the first 2,500 people that filled the cathedral. And then there were several times that number outside. They were there wanting to get a glimpse of this celebrated family. But I thought, since that time, I wonder the next Sunday, or the next Sunday, or even today, how many folks would be at the National Cathedral? Probably, certainly not that first number, and certainly not the second number. And yet, Cornelius and his family realized that they were gathered there before God. And that's far more significant than some celebrity could ever be. When we gather then in worship, we do so because we're coming into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there should be the earnestness and the eagerness about it. As the psalmist described it in Psalm 122, verse 1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." Isn't anything that should make us more thrilled, more delighted, than to be in the presence of God? Secondly, those on that occasion had inquiring minds. They came not out of custom, not to be acted upon, but theirs was a quest, and that quest was that they came to hear all of the things that are commanded of the Lord. Now, some say that hearing is magnified when one comes to worship. Someone says, "I thought the Lord's Supper was the focal point." Yet, hearing is the motor of Christianity. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All items of worship are important. It's just as important that I sing when I come into the assembly, that is, if I can, and I'm meaning not that I know all the mechanics of it, but that I have a voice and I'm able to do so, as it is for me to eat the Lord's Supper, as it is for me to give, all the acts of worship are important. All of them are necessary. All of them are needful. All of the things of God. And that's what these people were concerned about. They were concerned about all of the commands of the Lord. Every one of them. Not just one aspect, but all of God's commands, and that should be the case of each one of us. A preacher once said, he noticed when he gave out his text that people would settle down, some of the people would settle down for the next few moments. Not so much to hear what was said, but to see how he got through what he had announced. Now, they were somewhat inquisitive, but not in the sense that needed to be. A little bit like person trying to parallel park. Haven't you seen someone trying to parallel park sometime, and maybe it's a rather close squeeze and not too easy to get into the space, and one person or two will just stand gawking to see if he or she gets that car into that spot. And I think sometimes when that's done, it makes the person a little bit more nervous than otherwise they'd be. And maybe the person thinks, well, if someone wasn't just here looking to see whether or not I'm going to get this car in that spot, I'd be able to do it a whole lot easier. Now, these in Acts 10 were those that were gathered to hear the Word of God. A French officer whose ship had been taken by Lord Nelson was brought on board Nelson's vessel. And he walked up to the great Admiral Nelson and extended his hand. And Admiral Nelson said to him, "Don't give me your hand, but give me your sword first." Now the Scripture says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." The Scripture emphasizes the need of our hearing, of our listening, of our following the Word of God. And so Cornelius and all of his house were gathered to hear all things that were commanded of God. They realized that there were things they needed to know. He was a devout man, as we've already emphasized. He was one that feared God, a very generous, a very liberal person, one that prayed to God always, but he didn't have the attitude, "I've already arrived, I already know all that I need to know." He was concerned about knowing more. It's the person that is closest to God that wants to know more and more. It's the best student of God's Word that continues to study God's Word because he wants to know more and more of the will of God, as did Cornelius and all of his house. And then finally, the results. A record of fact. Not do your best and God will accept it. Had that been the case, Cornelius would have been accepted. Did not say, if life is good, all is right. It was in the case of Cornelius good, but all wasn't right. His diligent use of the light he had brought more to him. God saw that this man, who was so religious, who was so devout, who was so concerned about doing God's will, that more light was brought to him by Peter, and he accepted it. As Peter said, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth Him and worketh righteousness is accepted of Him. We know what brings acceptation to God today. Not because of what a person is as far as his social standing, but a person that works righteousness. And Scripture teaches us that all the commands of God are righteousness altogether. And so if we're going to work the righteousness of God, we're going to have to know God's will and God's work. And so those of us who are intent, as was Cornelius and his family, need to recognize and realize that all of God's commands are to be obeyed. We need to avail ourselves of every opportunity, be that a Sunday morning Bible class, a Wednesday night class, a worship service, or whatever it is, that we can gather with fellow Christians and we can study God's Word to come to know all the commandments of God. We're all here present before God to hear all things commanded of God. That should be the attitude of each of us. That should be the attitude of the church. Model assembly in that first century is still a model or an ideal today, and something that we as Christians and we as the church need to continually be working toward, to be working for. Realize that we haven't arrived individually, that the quest is always out there and the effort must always be exerted to be more and to do more of what the Lord would have us to do. If you haven't obeyed the commands of the Lord, we would urge you to do so. If you've never obeyed the gospel, that you would confess your faith in Jesus, repent of your sins, believing in Him with all of your heart, that you'd be baptized into Christ in order to rise and walk in a newness of life. If you have obeyed the gospel in days past, and you haven't followed the commands of God, you haven't been true and faithful to Him, then you need to repent, to turn back to the Lord, to repent of your sins and to say, Lord, I'm ready and willing to follow You completely, to do Your will,